Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Levels are set. Proper modulation. Let's go.
Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on AM 1250 and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Ryan Wood to join us. Green and Gold Insider in about 18 minutes. Plenty of time for you guys. 414-799-1250. Couple of tweets here. As we got in a feud with a Bears fan for some reason last hour. A couple of you guys saying, don't forget the Bears cut Robbie Gould, and now he's going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, who was the idiot that made that decision in Chicago?
They could have avoided the double doink.
Man, he struggled a little bit, and he got cut before the first game a few years ago, and it's like, somebody actually thought that they could bring in a better kicker than Robbie Gould, and he's been rock solid for San Francisco. Man alive. What, dumb. That would have been like the Packers cutting
Crosby
a few years ago when he was struggling.
Andrew tweets in, says, can we talk about the Richard Sherman Darrell Revis Twitter feud? Darrell Revis, great cornerback in his day, tweeted some crap about Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman went back at Darrell Revis, said, enjoy the Super Bowl from your couch. And I thought, okay, that's pretty funny. Some cornerbacks going back and forth. Then I heard Richard Sherman talk about the Packers.
They're trying to hype themselves up like, man, we're going to be ready this time. You weren't ready the first time, and that was in front of the whole country. That was a Sunday night game. It wasn't like it was a game, just a middle of the day, 1 o'clock game. You know, and it kind of bothered us a little bit. You know, they're like, oh, my God, we're going to be ready this time. Like, you weren't ready. Like, do you not take games seriously? You know, when do we not take games seriously in a regular season? If you would have won that one, you would have had the one seed. Would have been going to Green Bay. But hey, it wasn't that big a deal. You were going to be ready this time. But story for a different day.
All right, so even though he's right, I'm not in the business of being all pro Richard Sherman
today. No. But I guess this is, you know, he read a little bit too much into it. What are the Packers supposed to say? You know, well, we're going to forget about that regular season game and move on to the next time we face these guys in the postseason. Every team does that. Who gets trucked in the regular season like that? Of course. No, they wanted to win that game. Don't kid yourself. They wanted to win that game in San Francisco.
To say.
Yeah, they wanted to win that game back in November, Thanksgiving weekend in San Francisco. They didn't, so they what are they going to say?
It'd be like if I needed a chip on my shoulder and you came in and before the show you go, we're going to have the best show ever today. And I go, mm-hmm. What does that mean? We didn't have a good show. We never had good shows before. What are you doing, Richard? What the hell are you doing?
I think we've had that talk before.
Oh, yeah. 799-1250, 414-799-1250. Ryan Wood coming up, 15 minutes. John and Franklin right now. Johnny, how are you?
Hi, Johnny.
I'm all right. Yeah, I'm not going to apologize for betting on the pack. I really didn't see the game obviously unfolding the way it did. I was kind of wondering about their excuse about all this was all just communication. You know, when you get blown off the ball, I never squared those up. I do like Brady on the sideline when he's losing. You know, even when I didn't like Brady, I respected that, and I know that's not Rodgers to do that, and it isn't good optics when you see him on the sideline. This is tough, guys, because I believe we will be a better team next year, but that doesn't mean we're getting to this game. There's so many things that go into it. I think we peaked the luck there. The stars aligned a year early. I still believe, like you, Chuck, this was a transitional year. They're never going to say that with Rodgers a quarterback, but they had to turn this roster over, and they weren't going to do it in 1 year. And frankly, I don't know what they're going to do to bring themselves to the level of San Francisco, because they got trucked again, and this game it was even worse.
Yeah.
Don't let some of the statistics fool you at the end of it all.
Yeah, I didn't expect a lot this season, Johnny. I didn't. I mean, 13-3 division title. I mean, they got as far as their talent level got them. I mean, they maxed out as where they are. They got to the NFC. No one guessed this. I mean, yeah, I'm sure the people who thought this, but you know, they exceeded my expectations this year. But I thought next year, this is when you take the next step. This is where I thought they'd be next year.
Yeah, and that's why they didn't make any big moves. You know, they really didn't, and they wanted the draft choices and whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I think it's comical that some of our division foes are squawking, and I guess we would be too if we were in their position, but thank God we're not. I mean, you want to be a Chicago fan, you're going to sort out the quarterback. I mean, what are they going to do when they bring a veteran quarter in as backup? How am I? Oh, that's going to be fun to watch next year. No pressure on Trubisky and frankly, Pace down there. So it could be a lot worse, guys. You know, Ryan, I understand your point of view. You're a young guy. I get it. But this isn't like the Seattle loss when we were really there and we were ready. We just got to move on from this, and in a couple days we'll start figuring out how to sort through the wreckage and figure out how to make our team better.
All right, John, thanks for the call. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we could look at this loss, and I know Horvey was optimistic, and nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. But
it's just tough to get back, man.
It is, but they can. They can't, but who else? But look at San Francisco. I mean, they went from 4 wins to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's one of the best turnarounds in football history. To go from 4-12 in the losing seasons they've had the last 3 or 4 years to get to turn it around and win your first 8 games of the regular season and get to the Super Bowl?
My problem is, and it goes back to the draft, and I'm sure Rashawn Gary may be a hell of a player, but you just can't take a project when you have that pick right there, because look what the 49ers have done. You mentioned they had a 4-win team, and a lot of that has to do with Jimmy Garoppolo going down with the torn ACL, but even if he was healthy, I think they're probably a 7-win team at best, but they've built through the draft with pass rushers. You have to hit on every single pick in the first round, every pick, you know what I mean? Like Kevin King, good player, and I don't want to do the TJ Watt thing, but I mean, you have to hit on every single pick, and there's some for sure things out there that you missed. I mean, I know DK Metcalf had the neck injury, but imagine Aaron Rodgers with DK Metcalf on one side and Devontae on another side. Now, that doesn't help, you know, stopping 280 yards rushing or whatever, but you got to hit in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, getting Emmanuel Sanders in a trade. Now, Sanders didn't do anything yesterday for San Francisco, but, you know, he might have helped out the Packers, I think. I mean, who was their second best receiving threat yesterday? Thank God Jimmy Graham the last 2 games kind of saved him a little bit. Jimmy Graham played great in the last 2 games. Got the max out of Jimmy Graham. More than I thought we
would.
That's
my boy right there.
Did last 2 games.
This is my guy.
The last 2 games.
No, I don't think there's any chance he comes back.
No, but still, if it wasn't for Jimmy. Okay, I mean, he helped them. He helped them get this far.
You never know.
I like Sternberger a lot.
He will
say that.
He is Rodgers' best friend.
That might be your future right there. Although I don't like that he wears 87. I do like Sternberger. I mean, it's short sample size, but he looks like he could play, man.
If they could only get themselves a great, I don't think Sternberger's that guy. If they could get themselves a great tight end blocker, guy who catch passes. I mean, those guys aren't exactly a dime a dozen out there.
Hunter Henry's available this offseason.
Hmm. Yeah.
I would love him.
Yeah,
where
absolutely.
Did Hockenson went before the Packers picked? Did Fant do?
Yeah, he didn't have a shot at those guys.
Yeah.
Fant went top 11?
I believe Fant did. And even so, I didn't want a tight end in the first round. You got to go pass rushers.
But when
you
look comparative now, because we talked a lot about that, I like Rashawn Gary.
Mm-hmm.
But where you're at, and especially because they added 2 pass rushers in free agency and still drafted Gary at 12. So I like him. It's just maybe the pick wasn't. Maybe it didn't line up.
And, like, one more thing is that there was just some guys, like the Steelers, like there was just a couple guys at the safety position, at the corner position, where their names were being floated around that could have changed that defense. You also have to pull the trigger. I get that this year was kind of a surprise, but when Goody found himself in a position with a first-place team, you got to make the move, whether it be Emmanuel Sanders or, you know, all these receivers, mm-hmm. but mainly on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, they do. And it didn't. I mean, they stuck with Geronimo Allison, who I don't think he's going to be back next year.
Minka Fitzpatrick's on the field yesterday for that defense. Whole different story.
Sure. Instead, he's on a bad Pittsburgh team. So, I mean, you had a chance to make some moves at the trading deadline and didn't do it. And that was disappointing. I'm not saying they would have won that game if they got Fitzpatrick or if they went out there and got themselves the number 2 wide receiver. But you give yourself a better chance. I mean, Devontae Adams played his ass off yesterday, making plays. He really did. I mean, Rodgers dropped it right in the bucket there, that 65-yard catch. That was an amazing play. Good catch, good throw.
Devontae's been in the league 6 years. Half of those seasons have ended in the NFC Championship.
Yeah, yeah. He was talking about that. He said,
he's just got to be.
He was talking with Tim Van Voren on Channel 6 last night. He said, this is my third time back, and I've lost all three times.
You know who I saw last night on TV, too, and we'll bring you the audio. It's crushing either way. Blake Martinez, who a couple of times, the way he uses his words and language, it sounds like he does not expect to be back at all. He's a free agent. Packers could pay him, obviously, like they could pay anybody. But Blake Martinez at his locker, it seemed to be the end of an era for him.
No, it's just tough. It's one of those things, like, I mean, I can't hide it. Contract's over after this. So it was a special place for me. This is a special place to me. It gave me my opportunity. I love Green Bay and the fans. Everything about it, the players, the team. This year was something special to me, the guys we had. I've never had a group of guys like this that just wanted to win, wanted to be better every day. It was awesome to lead this group. Whatever ends up happening in free agency, I'll never forget this year.
Like to say to fans who have been so supportive of you through your career in this year?
Just thank you. It was a great ride. It's great 4 years. Ups and downs all across the board. They were always there for us. And it was awesome to be able to experience that. And there's honestly nothing like the Packer faithful.
Oh, guys, you should be in the studio. Chuck is holding back tears listening to that. You okay, bud?
Yeah, I mean, no. I mean, at least, you know, he was emotionally invested in this team. There's no doubt about that. But I think players know when they're not coming back. Not all, but some guys know that, hey, you know, they're probably not going to be coming back in this team again next year. You know, like, although Moustakas came back this past season, I think he thought in the offseason, no, he's not coming back. I think, you know, Prince Fielder, when he left here, I think he knew that his days, he was not coming back to the Brewers after 2011. You know, Blake Martinez probably sees the writing on the wall as well that, you know, they're not coming at him with a contract extension and he's done.
And he's a good dude. Like, one of the first, you know, when I came over to the station, we do the Boys and Girls Club thing, and he does the Packers tour. He does so much for charity. He's limited physically. We know that. And he gets killed on social media, but at least he goes out there and busts his ass and tries. I'd like to see him come back for really cheap and paired with another linebacker who could cover.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to see him come back. Maybe pay him like $2 million there.
Like in a situational thing, though, because he could tackle, he can make plays, but he just can't cover. I mean, he gave up 500 yards passing this season when targeted. Shanahan pointed him out and said, that's who we're attacking today.
Yeah, he's limited. He's limited in what he can do. And he's not ever going to be a Pro Bowl type player. He's not what they need. If they want to play championship-level football, they need to do better at that position.
We'll check in with Ryan Wood, get his thoughts on what happened yesterday. More from you guys, 414-799-1250. Our Green and Gold Insider joins us in just a couple minutes.
Got a great sports bar if you want to go watch the big game coming up in 2 weeks. The Q Club of Wisconsin, the place to go. Waukesha's Great North Side, plenty of TVs. They'll have basketball on there. They'll have football on. They'll put on anything you want, man. The important games every night, all at the Q Club of Wisconsin. Plus, they got their huge entertainment room there, the pool tables, a tornado foosball, shuffleboard, electronic darts, ping pong, all that. And plus, they got the indoor bocce ball court, which have been a ringing success at the Q Club. But, hey, what's a great sports bar if you got all these things? You got the indoor entertainment room. You got the TVs, sports on all the TVs. But you got to have good food, too. And they got an extensive selection, the awesome burgers, the wraps, the award-winning fish fries at the Q Club. Wednesday and Friday nights, your choice of four different styles piled high with all the extras. Mike, the owner there, he and his wife, man, they do a terrific job with customer service, the fish fries, the wraps, the burgers. Get there, enjoy an afternoon. Hey, have a couple of beers, watch the games, and check out their huge entertainment room. The Q Club of Wisconsin, easy to get to. Waukesha's Great North Side. They have the happy hours daily from 3 to 7. Get off on Highway T, 94 east or westbound. Get off on Highway T, go southbound. It turns to Grandview Boulevard, and there it is, half mile south of I-94. Visit them online, qclubofwi.com, or on Facebook. That's the Q Club of Wisconsin on Waukesha's Great North Side.
He joins us. It's Ryan Wood on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. All right, Woody. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, Woody.
very much in the San Francisco airport right now. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're just trying to survive here.
There are a lot of hungover Packer fans with you.
Are there?
I can imagine that.
Disappointing the way this game started off. I don't think anybody thought that the Packers, after going out in San Francisco first time, that they would have maybe a similar start in the first half of this one.
Yeah, but in hindsight, we should have. I mean, we definitely should have. Everyone should have expected the same, because the reality was these were two teams on completely different planes. If they played 10 times, the Packers would probably lose 10, at least 9. They were not close this year, and the big difference between the two was speed. The Packers didn't have it, especially on the second level of that defense, in the skill spots, on offense. They did not have the speed to keep up to the 49ers, and that was painfully obvious in both of those first halves. I mean, you're talking about 50-0 combined first half scores this year in two games against the 49ers. It would be one thing if this was like 2014, you know, when they were the better team. They go out to Seattle, they collapse in the last 5 minutes, they should win the game, they're the better team. That this is nothing like that. This is much more like 2016. The Packers simply were not the better team. When you play the better team on the road, you tend to get beat.
What's interesting is they got beat knowing what was going to beat them. I mean, they knew the Niners would consistently run the football. Even in the second half when they started running with Deebo Samuel, I mean, they were still running the football. Giving up 220 yards to one guy is unbelievable, especially when you know it's coming. Jimmy Garoppolo, we all know by now, threw just 8 passes in that game. How were they unable to stop what they knew what was coming over and over and over again?
Because they were faster. I mean, you're absolutely right. They absolutely knew what was going to happen. It's why the Packers defense lived in base with 3 down linemen and 2 traditional inside linebackers. There was no hybrid stuff going on. They lined up from the beginning in base defense because they knew that the 49ers were going to run the football, probably more base than you've seen all year. And it did not matter because they could not stop what was coming at them, what they knew was coming at them. They didn't have the speed to do it. And the reality is I think that the 49ers, in a way, uncovered a team need that none of us were talking about. Like, we know that they need more speed on the second level of the defense. We know that they need more receivers and tight ends. But not to diminish what Raheem Mostert did, because he had the game of his life. He was the MVP of the NFC Championship game, and he deserves all those accolades. He was phenomenal. But it could have been Tevin Coleman if he didn't get injured. It could have been Matt Breida. The Packers do not have the depth in their backfield, their offensive backfield, that the 49ers have. Aaron Jones is a phenomenal player. He had 23 touchdowns this season, another pair of touchdowns, but he's one guy. The 49ers come at you in waves, and they have options, and it just happened to be Raheem Mostert on this game. But if it wasn't, it could be someone else. They have so much depth and diversity and versatility in their offensive backfield, something the Packers don't have. If Matt LaFleur wants to get this run game to where his mentor's run game is, Kyle Shanahan's run game, they're going to have to add some more depth in the backfield, too, so they have more options.
Well, defensively, since Mike Pettine couldn't stop the run, do you look at it and say, hey, you've already mentioned, you know, they don't have the talent maybe on defense to stop the run, but how much is this on Mike Pettine?
It's not on Mike Pettine, but I just don't know what you can do if you're not the faster defense against that scheme. They don't have the speed on the second level, and the problem is twofold. One, that scheme is a challenge for anybody to diagnose. Any defense, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of misdirect motion. There's a lot of eye candy for a defense to have to kind of wade through. And then once you do, they hit you fast. So as you're diagnosing mentally, they hit you physically with the speed. I'm not going to say Mike Pettine's completely dissolved, because this was the second time that he's had a chance, really the third time if you go back to last year. They played him last year too. The third time that he's had a chance to see this scheme, and they clearly still are lacking. But if you don't have the speed to keep up, I just don't know. I don't know what you do at the end of the day.
Whenever the Packers lose, or even when they've won this year, I mean, we'd still find ways to criticize Aaron Rodgers. Ryan Wood joining us here, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. You know, he had a couple of interceptions. Statistically, he was fine. I thought he was fine early. In fact, I thought he was good early. It's just that he didn't really have a lot of opportunity to do much. The thing that bothers me, and I'm not this guy, but I don't know. You watch Patrick Mahomes, and you watch him pumping up the team and the crowd, and there's just a youth and exuberance to him. Aaron Rodgers just looked, I mean, at times it looked like he was very workmanlike, and he was going through the motions, and he looked old to me, Ryan.
Yeah, I get if you want that. I don't think it had really any effect on this game. And furthermore, I don't think it's necessarily fun to get your butt kicked. So that's what I always go back to when, oh, why can't Aaron Rodgers be more lively and active, especially in, like, blowout losses? Like, it would be kind of weird if he did, to me at least, because if you're getting rolled over, and they got rolled over, mm-hmm. you're not going to be exactly happy about it. So I think what's much bigger of an impact, especially offensively, I mean, past the turnovers, you know, the turnovers were obviously bad, but the botched fumble when you drive in the interception. The reality that Devontae Adams only had one catch for 7 yards in the first half, and there was literally nobody else to step up because nobody else can step up on that offense, that was the issue. Their Devontae Adams was bust in the passing game. It's been like that basically all year. Aaron Rodgers, very much in his way, he acknowledged that he understands it's going to be a different offense next year. Brian Gutekunst is going to do at the skill position what he did at the pass rush and at the back end of the coverage at safety this past spring. It is going to be a dramatic overhaul because it needs to be a dramatic overhaul. It's impossible to overstate how much work he has to do in changing the roster at the skill spots.
How much of the loss do you think, as we talked to Ryan Wood here, Chuck and Winkler, you know, there was a lot of good that came with having a first-year head coach. Aaron Rodgers, after the game, says, I had fun again. I mean, he's pretty much saying the last few years sucked, and we can understand why. The two losing seasons, he's been hurt. There was a dysfunction. But Matt LaFleur is a first-year head coach. A lot of this is on-the-job training for him. He's gotten beat now by the same team, guys he knows very well, twice. Did the inexperience play a role in how the Packers looked yesterday?
I think so. The reality is the 49ers run a very similar offensive scheme to Matt LaFleur's, but they're like 3 years ahead. So, and they look 3 years ahead. Don't get me wrong. They had more speed, and I think that was the biggest difference. But they were way more advanced in their scheme and what they were doing. I mean, Aaron Rodgers said it yesterday. They really didn't get into much of the tempo this entire year. I mean, it was just kind of, in a lot of ways, plodding along trying to figure it out. This scheme should be better, not just when you put more talent in it, but when you put more experience in it. And frankly, the Robert Saleh's defense, the 49ers defense, is also ahead in its scheme than where Matt LaFleur's scheme is. And it looked like that too. So, yeah, I mean, the fact that the 49ers have been around, been together a couple years, and they haven't been good that entire time, but until this year. But they've been able to grow in that scheme. The Packers have had no chance to grow in that scheme. Even on the defensive side, they're still just year two. One argument, perhaps, for why the Packers shouldn't go out and fire Mike Pettine, because the more you're in a scheme, and I think this scheme has shown that it can work, the better you usually get. So, you know, I don't think there's any question that a big part of this game was the fact that the 49ers are more experienced in their scheme than the Packers.
A little bit of a learning experience for Matt LaFleur as well, because he's got some things he probably figured out this season about being a head football coach. Sure, he's been a coordinator, but, I mean, different job being a head football coach. And maybe he will. I mean, whether it's Pettine or the rest of his staff, I'm sure he's going to probably be making some adjustments on his coaching staff too, wouldn't you think?
Be interesting. I think he's got to be careful with that. For one, like I said, you want to grow in your scheme together. Two, this is a team that went 14-4 this year. And in a lot of ways, they did that playing above their talent, which if they're doing that, if they're winning above their talent, why is that? Well, coaching's part of it, obviously. So we'll see. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say there's going to be no changes. I don't really know. But I have a hard time thinking that, that there's going to be massive wholesale changes or really any significant changes given how well things went this year. I just don't think that they're going to try to intentionally take steps backward.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot to talk about. We will certainly stay with you through the off season. We'll catch up with you later this week at least once or twice. Ryan, enjoy the flight back. Thank you for all your help this season. We'll talk in a couple of days.
All right, take care, guys.
Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Great Midwest Bank has your passion outgrown your home. A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. A quick reminder, I don't need to remind you, it's cold outside. The remote car starters help with that to at least get in your vehicle where it is not so cold. We've got a two-car garage at the home. We do. Not attached. It is not an attached. But one side of the garage is for my wife's car. The other is for our junk. So Barty parks outside. And it's cold in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a little scrapey. Got to do a little defrosty.
Especially at that time of the morning. It's not fun.
Oh, it's brutal.
Yeah.
So what I used to do was fire up the remote car starter and then take a shower and then get in the car. It's nice and warm. Well, I've kind of stopped showering in the morning, as you guys know.
Yeah, well, because you're probably getting to work out later on today. Is that what it is?
Absolutely not. Although I do have to finish shoveling the steps.
That's working out.
Yeah, that's going to suck. But I still fire up that remote car starter, get ready for the day, hop in the car, and it's nice and warm. And then the way home, I'll hit the car starter and get in the car, and I'll be nice and ready to go. You know the value of it. We've been talking about this for months, so now's the time to get it done. Sound Decisions, the place to do it. These guys are pros when it comes to a lot of stuff for your vehicles. Car audio systems, you need that. They've been doing that since 1972. And along the way now, they have become the leaders in the remote car starter business with competitive pricing, the leading brands, and a quick installation to make sure you are set and on your way. Wisconsin winters are brutal. And when we think that this one's going to be different, it never is. So get ahead of the curve. 262-633-8300. Check out Sound Decisions at 262-633-8300. Give me a note if you need that number again. Otherwise, on Facebook or check out the website brightpinkmailbox.com. Sound Decisions is what you're looking for. 262-633-8300. More on this loss, more from you guys. 414-799-1250 coming up in 2 minutes. 105.7 FM.
Because it was working. Yeah. If it's working, you stay with it. Our guys are running so hard. Our line coming off the ball, our backs. All 11 of our guys have been all year. The guys fought hard as heck, and we're going to put all in their hands.
Gosh darn gee, they fought hard as heck. That's Kyle Shanahan, Niners head coach. Asked, why did you keep running the football? Well, why wouldn't you? Jimmy Garoppolo throws the ball 8 times yesterday. That's it. The Niners run the ball 42 times for 285 yards, averaging 6.8 yards a carry. Raheem Mostert, remember when the Packers got beat by Colin Kaepernick when he cut us up for 181 yards in 2012, and you thought, oh, this is it. I mean, you're never going to see a worse performance in the playoffs run defense than this. Frank Gore also had 100 yards that game. Oh, no, you saw it. Raheem Mostert, 29 carries, 220 yards, just one of the three guys that the Niners can choose from. Could have been Tevin Coleman, Ryan Woods, right? That could have been Matt Breida. Didn't matter who the body was. The Niners running back was going to eat yesterday, and he did.
Well, yeah, but he just had it. He was just lathered up, though, and good. So, I mean, I just think he was ready to just burst, and you could tell. I mean, his first couple of carries, it's like, man, who is this guy? How come they can't stop him? And it was just every – when you're running for 7 yards a carry – you're not going to beat a team that's getting you for 7 yards a carry. How are you going to stop a team like that? They're getting you. I mean, running the football, I mean, it takes time off the clock. It just demoralizes you. It's one thing to pass the ball over the yard. But when you're running it right down another team's throats, that's where you demoralize the other team. Running on every third down, converting on every third down, and not only getting it by a yard, but getting it by 10 yards. And that touchdown run he had, that was it right there. First half, first quarter, touchdown run. I was like, okay.
Game was over. Game was over. They third and eight, touchdown, game was over. Ben tweets in at the fan, says, Last night was a Big Ten championship game when the Badgers take on Ohio State. Niners had better athletes all around, faster, just more overall talent. UW wins the West, only to use to Ohio State. That's what we saw happen last night. 414-799-1250. Trell's on the north side. T, what's happening?
Hey, T.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Happy birthday, Chuck.
Thanks, T, man. It's been a while.
That, yeah.
I want to get to my three things. I don't want to be all over the place, so I'm trying to stick to three things. First thing, Rodgers lost this game for us, and I know the numbers say the defense was terrible against the run, which we've seen these weaknesses with the defense all year with the run defense, so I can't say I'm that surprised with that. I kind of feel like we knew Giannis couldn't shoot the jump shot last year. Then when a team makes him be confident in shooting the jump shot, we pile on him and say, oh, we can't do – well, that's been his weakness all year. I mean, and it wasn't enough help around to help that. My thing with why I say Rodgers lost this game is that early in the game, I wanted to see what the game plan was, what the Packers were going to try to do. And that first drive when Rodgers got stripped of that ball and Billy Turner was able to, you know, get the ball back, but there could have possibly been a turnover early. I think that showed a tale, a microcosm of the Packers season and of the game by Rodgers. To me, for him to sit back there and hold the football longer than you know he's supposed to hold it on a defense like this, when you're not supposed to drop back and just sit there and then act like he's surprised when someone comes and knocks the ball in his hand, that was just him being stubborn, trying to do things what he wants to do. The game plan was supposed to be more like it was in the second half. And it's terrible you got to be getting blew out for you to actually go back to what you know is going to work. But that's kind of what we've seen. And another thing about Rodgers is, like, the guy's had four NFC championship games in his career. He's played terrible in all four of them. He won one because of some defensive plays made by B.J. Raji, Charles Woodson, and that defense that year that we got hot in 2010. But he wasn't good against the Bears that year. He's had terrible.
Well, Seattle, he was hurt. The Seattle one, he was hurt.
But I'm not making excuses for him. If he was good enough out there, he made plays the week before against the Dallas Cowboys, and we won that game. So I'm not going to say, well, he was hurt. And I don't think many people are going to really look back at that in the future. When you get more in the future, you're going to say, oh, he was hurt that game. He just has had terrible performance in the NFC Championship game. And my thing with him is not just can he play or to what level can he still play. It's how much is that fire that guy that used to get used to feel mocked by any little thing. He had like rabbit ears. Like any little comments people made about him, he used to respond on the football field. I don't see that same guy anymore. And that's what I want to see as a Packer fan. Does he still have that? My next thing, and I'm going to hurry up and get there. I know you guys got more to do. I'm so sick of local media personalities making excuses and trying to temper down fans and make expectations what they want them to be.
I'm interested in this. Who are we talking about?
We went through the same crap with Ted Thompson when these same media people was taking up for Ted, saying, you know, Ted's done a great job, all this stuff. Ted shellacked his team.
Trell, shame these people. Who are you talking about? Name names.
I can't name names because it's too many, and no one should take it personal. No one should take it personal because I'm not pointing anybody up. So I'm just saying people who have this mindset, like, I think we should be happy with this season. You know, Packers, no. These guys need to get their job done. So the last thing, Gutekunst has to. And I understand he didn't make an upgrade for this roster during the trade deadline in the midseason, and I wanted him to as a fan. And I guess fans want their team to do any and everything possible. Okay, I understand that. But this offseason, through the draft, through trade, through free agency, he needs to upgrade his offensive roster and needs to help the defensive side of the ball. I don't know how he do it and when he do it, but I don't want to hear these excuses talking about, well, the Packers draft 30th. I mean, what can we really expect? Listen, the San Francisco 49ers won four games last year, and we won six. And they just beat us down like their talent level is just so much better than ours. And I'm just sick of seeing it. The last two NFC Championship games have been shellacking. Atlanta and, again, this one. I mean, so I don't know what they need to do, but they need to get it done. And I'm tired of this, you know, we're doing a roster. We're rebuilding. Man, you got Aaron Rodgers. put the proper pieces around them, and let's go out there and win some football.
Yeah. And I think out of Gutekunst, I think you could feel more confident. He's going to do a better job trying to fill holes in this team than Ted Thompson would do. Obviously, through free agency, Ted wanted no part of it. Goody, I think, is going to go there, and I feel more confident in this administration trying to fill some of the holes, Bart, than what Ted Thompson tried to do.
I am optimistic that the team will learn from this, some of the younger guys. I am optimistic that Brian Gutekunst is going to have a nice offseason. I'm optimistic about that, so I will preach that optimism because that's how I feel. I'm just always going to tell you how I feel. Some of you, well, how do you feel about the Brewers this way, the Bucks this way, the Packers this way? Because they're all different. I mean, they're all different. I'm not going to be Joe Optimist on each one of my different teams. I'll tell you how I feel about this one. I'm optimistic. What I will agree with in every case for any team is that if you don't win the championship, the year was not a success. There are successful things that they have done. They have had achievements. It was fun. I had a fun time. But the ride came to a crash again. We want championships. So until those happen, I'm never going to celebrate a season that ends with a loss. I'm not going to do it.
All three of our professional sports teams here in major.
But I am optimistic for next year.
Yeah, I mean, all three of our teams, though, they have not yet taken that next step. I mean, the Bucks, we like to think, are going to do it this May and June and take that next step. Brewers never did after winning the NL, getting the Game 7 of the NLCS and losing the Dodgers. They never took this last step this past year. The Packers have got to get to the Super Bowl. They do. I mean, we've been teased. We've gone to three NFC championship games in the last 6 years. Haven't won the big game. Got to get by that. And it's up to the front office to, you know, Rodgers, he was healthy this year. Not healthy the last 2 years, but he was healthy this year. Well, let's get some more pieces here and make one last run at it.
Still waiting for Rick and Oshkosh to call. Rick actually called during the game yesterday when I was still here after the postgame show.
He did?
Kevin from Maple Ridge actually gave us a call earlier.
Well, what the hell?
Well, he didn't want to talk to us. He just wanted to let me know that he thought Bill Michaels was going on 670 The Score. And I go, well, aren't you listening to us? And he goes, no, I'm listening to 670 The Score.
Today?
He goes, is there a Bill at the station? And I said, we got two of them. And he said, he's going on The Score. And I was like, okay, Kev. So he wasn't even listening to us. He was listening to 670
Who's
The Score.
Kevin who?
From
Kevin
Maple
from
Ridge.
Maple Ridge.
What,
you would know him when he calls
okay,
in.
Okay.
Great God, dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, Rick from Oshkosh.
Rick
I was
called
expecting.
In and we weren't on the air, so we were throwing F-bombs back at each other. It was awesome.
Really?
Talking about how effing bad the Packers were.
Yeah.
How
Rick,
effing...
on a Sunday night.
Oh, yeah.
You should have given your phone number, your personal phone number.
That's right, I should. There's another guy, Mark, Real Mark, emailed the station about 15 times last night.
Yeah.
You know, talking about how much the Packers suck. He's, you know, there's some fans in this state that enjoy when your team suck. Like, you're fans of the team, but you like when they suck. I don't get that. Mark says, can't wait for the choker and his excuses. He's referring to Rodgers.
Oh.
We are really close. We will be back. Only if we were at home. I like our chances. It was Mike McCarthy's fault. San Fran got into Aaron's head. Aaron, in this case, is spelled E-R-I-N. Okay.
Like Aaron Hills.
Like Brockovich.
Like Aaron's a girl.
Yeah.
Like Marcus 2020. We're all theys now. San Fran, I was a joke. San Fran, and if I've offended you again, now that, just forget it. San Fran got into Aaron's head and stuck to their plan, attacking a very poor run defense, even after Coleman went out and Green Bay's secondary was depleted. Very fine game plan by San Fran's coaching staff. McCarthy will win a Super Bowl before Green Bay does. Old man Rodgers' time is up. One thing, Coleman would have done that. Breida would have done that. Mostert would have done that. Raheem Mostert's a good back. And if you didn't hear him till yesterday, that's fine. I mean, why would you? But he's a good back. He was their starting back towards the end of the season. To say he was a backup is wrong. He's good. He's a starter. Clearly, he showed that.
He's
yesterday.
One of those guys who's a late bloomer. He came out of Purdue, undrafted, unheralded, picked up, and, yeah, a late bloomer and a great find. This game, if it was played at Lambeau Field, you know, I think he kind of alluded to there. You know, if this game is played at Lambeau Field, unless some of those guys on the offense, unless some of those guys from San Francisco would have got up to Lambeau Field and just would have been froze and couldn't do anything, that running game would have been the same thing. You know, they would have done the same thing at Lambeau Field as they did in San Francisco. You know, San Francisco was, what, 50 degrees? Lambeau would have been, what, 20 degrees yesterday? Again, unless some of those guys would have been just so struck by the cold, would have done the same thing.
The result's the same both cases. Yeah. That's what, yeah. I agree.
Unless,
with
again,
Rodgers can say different, but I
unless
agree
some
you
of those guys would have done what when the Oakland Raiders were up there a few years ago and played in the cold, and they just didn't want to be there.
No,
same thing.
Did you see the tweet, Horvat, that just came in?
What does it say? No, I don't think so.
It goes, Chuck Barton and Horvat are two of the most one-sided. So first of all, listen to this: Chuck Barton and Horvat, that's three people, are two of the most one-sided. The guy says T. Daly. Chuck Barton and Horvat are two of the most one-sided, unrealistic Packer fans and radio personalities I have heard. Horvat said all week the Packers are going to the Super Bowl. They are great and gets mad when anyone points out the realistic weaknesses of this team.
I've pointed out the weaknesses of this team all day long.
Well, yeah, how about all you idiots who are coming after me last week?
At least I have the balls to make a prediction.
You know, all you guys, not you guys, but I mean all these people were coming at me last week for picking San Francisco to win the game, and I'm not a fan, and what am I doing? You know, hey, just call them like I see them, my man. And I didn't think the Packers were going to win this game. So don't hate the messenger.
This guy
don't
is
hate the brilliance of me.
Packers fan, a St. Louis Blues fan, and a Chicago White Sox fan, as well as Jimmy Buffett.
Okay, I got a
Jimmy Buffett.
I know for the people that are on Twitter or not on Twitter when we talk about Twitter too much, I know that's annoying. That being said, I have to read this exchange that happened yesterday on why I hate the platform so much. I had tweeted because I was wondering why the Packers went for two, because I thought you go touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. This is when they went for two and missed it to Devontae. Mm-hmm. I wasn't thinking you go touchdown, two, and then a field goal. So there was one point I tweeted, small chance it matters, but Packers shouldn't have gone for two before. And a couple people corrected me, no, you can go 8-8-3, and I was thinking 7-7-7. So I was wrong, so I just deleted it. Not a big deal. And then I tweeted, math was wrong. I screwed up. The guy took a screenshot of that tweet and then said, if you're going to troll, at least don't delete it. Winks thinks. And I said, I wasn't trolling. I did the math wrong. Why did you take a picture of that? And then he goes, to clown you. And it worked. And I said, get a different hobby. I'm not worth it. He responded, chill, dude. Your emotions are making you look childish on Twitter. And I said, egg me on and then tell me to chill. Classic. He then said, I control you. I would have ignored me a few comments ago. Wow. This is why we talk about the platform so much, because it is so terrible.
This is what me too. This is why I don't go back and forth with guys on Twitter. Because a guy comes
Give me your attention. I give it to you. You idiot. Why would you pay attention
exactly
to me?
Well, a guy comes at you, calls you a name, and then you come back at him and it's like, oh, Freems, don't be so sensitive. Well, you came in and called me a name.
Yep.
I'm just going to take it. You're just going to shove
and
it up my rear end. And
like
I'm supposed to be okay.
A G logo with the Grateful Dead symbol behind it.
Right.
And your name's like Tommy Two Tone.
Yeah. Sure.
Or just like DJRXXXXX, like that guy last night. That
you come at me and I retaliate and I'm the bad guy.
Yeah.
I'm the sensitive guy.
Let's get an update from Mike Clemens. We'll get back to the phones in 90 seconds.
Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. Here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers season ends with a 37-20 loss to the 49ers here at Levi Stadium. This is the third time Devontae Adams has come to within a game of going to the Super Bowl.
I mean, one game or two, I mean, it sucks either way. So, I mean, you either get the trophy or you don't. So if you don't take care of your business, you will be eliminated.
The Packers' defense could not stop the 49ers' run game, led by Raheem Mostert, who rushed for 220 yards and scored four touchdowns. Matt LaFleur.
It seemed like we were playing a good bit of single safety defense, and when you're in single high, you shouldn't be able to run the ball like that. I think I looked up one time and saw that Mostert had 20 carries for 200 yards, and that is not going to get it done.
Mostert says he appreciates the opportunity he got in San Francisco.
I've been on seven different teams. I actually still have, you know, the cut dates, and I look at that before every game when I got cut. But whoever gave me the opportunity, and this organization has done a great job with that.
The 49ers jumped out to a 27-0 lead before halftime. Packers safety Adrian Amos.
It seemed like at a point, you know, they was running whatever they wanted to run. Really, you know, it was just one of them days where, you know, you just couldn't stop them.
That's Packers safety Adrian Amos. From Levi's Stadium, I'm Mike Clemens.
Best Packers coverage on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler, live from the Bryant and Stratton Bobcat Studios.
So Raheem Mostert with 220 yards, undrafted out of Purdue, as Chuck mentioned. Spent some time in camp with the Eagles that year in 2015. Then is kicked around Miami, Baltimore, Cleveland. 2016, spent some time with the Jets. One stop between the Jets and then the Niners. And since we've been giving crap to this team all day long, he stopped in Chicago. Raheem Mostert was a Chicago Bear. And they let him go.
Oh, you mean the Chicago Bears had another player in their hands and they just thought, oh, he's not that good.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of teams passed on him. But, Bear fan going to come at us for a number of things. It's just another thing we can heave back at them.
414-799-1250. Josh is in Tulsa. Josh, you're on the Fan. What's up?
What's going on, guys? Is it a red and gold Monday here in Milwaukee?
Uh-oh. Do we have a Niners fan in our midst?
You betcha, baby. I think Mostert just scored another touchdown.
Mm.
Oh, okay. Well, Niner fan in Green. Is this where you calling from?
Wauwatosa,
huh? Okay, I guess you can't be a Packer fan. We're not good enough, okay?
You would have been better in the 80s. Maybe my dad wouldn't freak out so much. I might be a Green Bay fan, but probably not.
Oh, it was easy to jump on the Niner bandwagon in the 80s. Of course, they won World Championships. That's easy, sure.
I've been with them ever since. We won four games last year. We just sucked for a long time, but... Okay. I'm trying to get my day in the sunshine, so I thought I'd call in and just share my enjoyment with you guys and everybody else listening out there, and I think it's going to be a good Super Bowl. Everybody can always pile on Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers wasn't playing defense last night. I don't think the Packers were either. I don't know. You got the best in the business, and you only got one Super Bowl with them. It's kind of sad sitting here in the state watching a guy that good, and you only get one Super Bowl with them. And all Ted Thompson's fault, whatever. I don't know.
Your Niners just kicked the Packers' ass last night. You're a little too polite here, Josh.
That's a patronizing polite. What are you talking about?
Oh, you think so?
Oh, absolutely.
No.
Oh, he's patronizing us.
I've got one of my best friends.
He's doing the, I don't know, what's it called? Passive aggressive on us?
I took that picture I shared 2 weeks ago when the Niners played the Vikings, and I was wearing Niners stuff as a boy because I was supporting my buddy who's a big Niners fan, even though he grew up in Wisconsin. He always, after games, it's like we're not even friends. The text that we get, me and a couple other guys, oh, you guys saw Aaron Jones was good, LOL, Packers fans suck, Rodgers is a joke. It's like, I thought we were friends, dude, but he digs in so hard because Niners fans living here. Have you lived here your whole life, Josh?
I have.
You take a lot of heat for being a Niners fan?
They put me in the corner last night at the bar when we were watching the game, and I had to sit there as quiet as possible, but that didn't last long.
Yeah, well, brave of you to go out. All right, well, have fun in the Super Bowl. I can't really, say anything because you kicked their ass twice now, so you've got one on us.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
All right, Josh. Have a good one.
Go Niners.
Go Niners.
Well, no. I'll throw this in. Packers don't have to take a backseat to the Niner organization ever. Ever. Lost to them, yes. Lost the last couple times. But the Packers have had their number, too. Packers have won out there. And the Packers have won NFC Championship games out there. So, over the grand scheme of things, the Niners have won their Super Bowls. You know, they got beat in their last Super Bowl. They got beat in 2012, in the Harbaugh Bowl.
Look, whatever it was. The way the Niners... 2015. I'm not rooting again. Like, I want the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. I always want the team that beat us to lose.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not rooting against them with the same passion that I've rooted against the Giants or the Seahawks in Super Bowls of yesteryear. I would just still like to see the Chiefs win. There's not even a lot of guys on this Niners team that I don't like. I mean, I can't really, outside of, there's not just, as far as football people, not a lot of guys I don't like. The guys that I don't like, John Lynch, I don't like him at all. I just do not like John Lynch. I think he's overrated. He's trying to take away some Hall of Fame votes from Leroy.
Yeah, I see Aikman threw a couple of bouquets towards John Lynch for the Hall of Fame this weekend, too.
Garbage. What I do hate also isn't Kyle Shanahan, but when they showed Mike Shanahan, former Broncos coach, beat the Packers in a Super Bowl, mm-hmm. when they showed him in the booth being all happy in the first half, That's the most mad I was the entire time last night.
All right, explain to me, why is Mike Shanahan, who's got no ties to the San Francisco organization, okay, except for his son, coach of the team, why is he presenting the championship trophy? Why is Mike Shanahan presenting the championship trophy last night? So what if the Packers would have won that game? Who's Mike Shanahan presenting for the if the Packers won last night? Why is Mike Shanahan on that stage?
Jed, congrats. This is a big one right here. National Football Conference trophy, you deserve it.
Oh, you give it to him. You give it to him.
Father, son, that's nice.
I'm normally a sucker for father-son stories, but I don't even like this one.
I wasn't buying it either.
They don't even look alike.
No.
I'm not even buying it.
I wasn't into it either.
I'm tired of the Shanahan family.
You know what I am. I was not when he's up there, I was like, why is Mike Shanahan?
What the hell are you doing?
Who won a Super Bowl with an AFC team? What is his tie to San Francisco? Why is he? It's not about his son, it's about the team.
Yeah, it should have been Jerry Rice. They showed him a million times anyway.
Yeah. George Seifert.
George Seifert.
Bring him up there.
Yeah.
Bring his old bones up there. But
Bob St. Clair.
Eau Claire. I don't know. Do what you want, but not Mike Shanahan. Nothing screams the Niners like Mike Shanahan.
799-1250. You guys on hold. We're coming. You guys not on hold. Get in line. This is your hour. This is your show to talk Packers football as they lose in the NFC Championship game for the third time in 6 years. Mike Clemens will join us. 9:35, Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.
The 49ers ended the Packers season. What holes need to be filled in the offseason? What will they do in the draft? We look forward to talking about the 2020 Packers season on the Fan.
This is Chuck McDowell, founder and CEO of Wesley Financial Group, the timeshare cancellation expert. If you've ever played any sport, you know what running a suicide is. It's where you run a sprint to the first line, touch the line, run back to the start, touch the line. There's always those that don't touch the line. They take shortcuts. They cheat just a little at every turn. Touching the line. This is something we talk about every day in our office. It's something I demand from my employees. We do not take shortcuts. We touch every single line. We're not here just to cancel your timeshare. We've got that part figured out. We're here to provide you with the best customer service of your life and treat you as part of our family. So, if you've been lied to when buying a timeshare, give my office a call. I guarantee if we take you as a client, we will cancel your timeshare contract or you'll pay nothing.
Call Wesley now for your free information kit. 800-349-8877. 800-349-8877. 800-349-8877.
Hey, having the usual?
I'm thinking of steaking things up.
Excuse me?
Steak from the norm, you know? Steak this meal to the limit.
Are you having some pun with our new steak menu?
Guilty as charred.
Well done.
What can I say? I love a bad pun.
One top sirloin steak dinner coming right up.
Now you can steak things up at Perkins with our new top sirloin steak dinner. Savory steak and eggs, loaded steak quesadilla, and more. Starting at just $7.99 for a limited time only at Perkins.
Did you know the original orange chicken is just one click away? Try Panda Express today. Order the award-winning honey walnut shrimp, broccoli beef, chow mein, and of course, orange chicken. Go to PandaExpress.com to order online or drop by your neighborhood Panda Express to try any of these mouth-watering entrees made with fresh, quality ingredients. Catering an event? You can order a Panda Party Tray for your next get-together. What are you waiting for? There's a Panda favorite for every craving. Panda Express. Walk on.
The price of gold is now at a five-year high, and what does that mean to you? That means extra cash in your...
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.